An athlete wants to set
a record. Oh,
there, you got it.
All right. Well, you gave that one to me. That's not fair.
It takes some. It takes a few hints. It's totally fine. What a person does when he or she goes, or what a hillside of trees in the springtime shows.
Wait, what was the first one again?
What a person does when he or she goes. What a hillside of trees in the springtime shows.
Oh, man.
Don't think too hard.
A hillside of trees show? And what a person so does when
trees would
come. Oh, it's not waves, is it? No.
No, not waves, but trees.
Oh, leaves.
Leaves. There. You were thinking waves, maybe because I'm using my hands here, but leaves. That's good.
Oh, that's good.
A charge. he's racking them up. At least I think he is. thanks, Alice. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, Keysport P, and SLBRadio.org/radio, with links to our own audio player as well as those of TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and our unique listen by phone service at 631-359-8728. We also had a correct answer of leaves from Jackson, and Mike and Jaylene also had leaves from our last puzzle. Stick around, Youth Express. And our Youth Express Hour is coming up, and I think you'll enjoy the conversation. We have a couple of poets joining us. And more.
You're the one that I dreamed of on nights oh so cold. You're the one in a million that makes my life whole. Sweetheart, you know I love you with all my heart and soul. You're the love of my lifetime, sweetheart, you're the one. From the day that I met you, you made my life complete. I could not want for anything. The way that you kissed me and held me oh so close. Sweetheart, I know you're the one. You're the one that I dreamed of on nights oh so cold. You're the one in a million that makes my life whole. Sweetheart, you know I love you with all my heart and soul. You're the love of a lifetime, sweetheart, you're the one. My life whole. Sweetheart, you know I love you with all my heart and soul. You're the love of my lifetime, sweetheart, you're the one. You're the one that I dreamed of on nights oh so cold. You're the one in a million that makes my life whole. heart to know I love you with all my heart and soul. You're the love of a lifetime, sweetheart, you're the one. You're the love of a lifetime, sweetheart, you're the one.
Carson Peters and Iron Mountain at the Saturday Light Brigade. Welcome, Brigadier. Welcome up to this hour. And you're going to meet three remarkable people from South Fayette High School in just a moment and hear about the work that they're doing. And in particular, at least from my perspective, work they're doing to help level the playing field. Although in this case, the playing field is something you see when you look upward.
Headliner joins you in supporting SLB Radio and Youth Express. Headliner is a cloud-based software that media makers can use to add video to podcasts, music, and other audio projects, making it easier to share their creations via social media, YouTube, and websites. Headliner also offers a photo and video library, text captioning, and simplified audio-video editing. Additional information is available at headliner.app.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day is this Monday, January 19th, and our 13th annual Streaming Justice youth-hosted talk show will air from 3 until midnight. We hope you'll tune in at youthexpress.org. Teens will take your phone calls between 3 and 6 o'clock as they host the program, and a different crew of hosts every hour. You can listen at youthexpress.org. So I gave a little bit of a tease about what we're going to be talking about. It took me a minute to figure out what FLAG stands for. It's Fly Like a Girl. And the young women that are here today are all from South Fayette High School. And it's all about getting certification to operate drones. The FAA requires certification for drones to be used in certain situations. And 5 local high schools are involved in a program to help girls get these certifications. Often the programs seem to be boy-centric, so Fly Like a Girl is a way to get girls involved. I'm going to ask each of you to introduce yourself. If you have any shout-outs, this is the perfect time. If you don't, that's fine, too. And Safina, I'm going to start with you.
Hi, my name is Safina Kilji. I am a junior at South Fayette High School, and I am part of the Fly Like a Girl Drone Academy program.
My name is Morgan Dolenz. I'm a sophomore at South Fayette High School. I just got my license about a month ago, so I'm the most recent to get it.
And hi, I'm Pranita Chuckingle. I'm a senior in high school, and I actually got my license in October 2024, so it's been a good bit.
Congratulations, Safina. Do you have your license?
Yes, I do. Awesome. I got mine in October of this year.
So what does a license let you do?
Yeah, for me, it's just getting that validation. I think I've always seen aviation as such a male-dominated industry, and just being able to get my license was so meaningful because only 8% of the certified pilots are women, and just knowing that I'm able to be a part of that representation was very meaningful. And in addition to that, I'm also able to use the skills that I learned. I recorded for the football game for our high school. And in addition to that, like, occasionally if there were any projects, for example, for Veterans Day one year, the intermediate in the elementary school wanted like a performance to record, just like little kids like dancing around, and it was like a memorial almost for all the soldiers and for our country in general. So just being able to record that, being able to use my skills for something greater, and just being able to represent something so meaningful was very nice to me.
What about for you, Morgan? What led you to pursue this?
I have always been very interested in aviation, and I saw this as a great starting point for getting into it, because you get to learn about a lot of the roles that go with flying while not flying a plane. So it's kind of a simpler version, but it's still very complicated. But after I started the program, I found out that I'm a volunteer firefighter, so with that, I am able to use my drone certification on different fire scenes to help, like, keep an eye above it and watch what's going on, because there's a lot you can see from the ground, but at the same time, there's a lot going on that you can't see sometimes. So from above, you're able to kind of see everything that's going on and let people know if, like, there's something wrong going on, and be able to relay that to the command and help get it fixed.
That's amazing that you can do that. And I'm guessing you might be among the youngest volunteers in the fire department, and maybe one of the few drone enthusiasts. And that's a really great skill to be able to provide.
So I'm the youngest person in my station. There are younger people. I joined about a year and a half ago, so I'm just kind of starting to get into it. I'm going to be able to do some training soon to be able to do more stuff, but it's really helpful. And like the people you get to meet through it, it gives you a lot of different connections throughout your community or even bigger than that. And it gives you really good opportunities to be able to expand your network.
And Safina, what drove you to get involved, and what are your hopes for using your certification to be able to fly drones?
Yeah, so I was always interested, because what I want to go into, I want to possibly be an aerospace engineer. So I was always interested in, because part of the aerospace is the aero part, which is like flight. And I also saw like in different companies, like for example, Disney uses now drone shows. So I was always interested in flying a drone, but I didn't know where to start. And I didn't have the guidance on my own to do it. So when I saw the school had a program, I was like, this is perfect, because I can go through the program and then they will give me a little bit of guidance on how to get my license. And then for the future, I plan on filming for the football team like Pranita did now this coming, because I'm going to be a senior this coming senior year. And I hope to use it over the summer, maybe for like to for different companies. And then I also hope that I can get a job with it this summer.
Yeah, I was fascinated. We needed to get some work done on our roof about 6 months ago, and everybody that came to look at our roof, no more climbing up ladders. They just took a drone up to get pictures, and in some cases in real time, we were able to look at video. I also read that Walmart plans on piloting deliveries by drone. That's been heard for a long time. People have been talking about it, but they're finally going to give it a shot. And I would imagine that all of these applications require somebody with the kind of skills that you have. But they're all important. And actually, getting a drone from a warehouse to a customer's address, I'm not even sure how you would do that. I guess GPS would be the method, but that's it's something to think about. Can you fly a drone without FAA certification? And what are the limitations on you if you do that?
There are like certain limitations to legally fly a drone, and to get paid for like your work, then you need to be certified. And I think that's where like the caveat is. If you want to be credited for the work and effort you're putting in, then I think it's important to get a license. And also just like being in the moment and doing something, I feel like it's more meaningful if you get your license while you're working. So I think, like, that's the thing. You can fly it. I think also, like, the weight limit really matters, because the FAA has, like, a certain weight limit recommendation that, like, that's when it's considered a drone that's administrated by the FAA.
So they are trying to carve out a way that a hobbyist could still enjoy using a drone. But if you're serious about it, if you're going to perform a service such as filming a sports event so people can learn from it, you would want to have a license. Safina, you were going to add.
Yeah, to legally be employed for drone flying, you have to have a license to be able to get paid and to work for a company. So that's kind of the difference between if you have it as a hobby, whereas if you have your license, you can work with your license to get a job.
So I've never flown a drone. I certainly have seen them. Is it hard to learn? And what's the process? How do you do it?
I guess I can answer this one. I think there's definitely a learning curve initially, just like figuring out how to even like turn on the drone. I remember like understanding you have to click once and then you hold it down. Just like simple processes like that. But I think once you get the hang of it, it's almost like, I guess the best way I can describe it is like a remote control game. And like me personally, I've never like actually held a remote control and started playing or like even like controlling something. So it was a completely different experience for me. But just like knowing that I'm able to like actually make something fly with just like my fingers, it was like a magical moment, just being able to fly it and soon starting to get the controls to like making the drone spin and just getting more expertise on it was a great moment.
Yeah, and just like everything in life, practice makes perfect. So I definitely, in the beginning, I was nervous because I'm like everything. People are nervous the first time they do something. And then over time, as you get better with it and as you learn about it, you get better and better. And then you're able to fly it without feeling as much nerves. And then you build confidence.
Is a drone expensive?
Yeah.
Short answer, yeah.
more than $500. I have no idea. Everybody's looking at Jim Hausman, who coordinates STEM and project-based learning at South Fayette High School.
Right. Yeah. So, hi, I'm Mr. Hausman. And drones can run from a couple hundred bucks all the way up to several thousand dollars. And when you start getting into the industry level drones, you're talking upwards of $50,000 to $100,000 for some of the technology that's in the air.
The reason I asked is, I would, just as you get your driver's license and you use the family car, you know, one of the biggest fears you have is getting into an accident. I would be concerned about flying the drone, you know, into a brick wall and suddenly, you know, I have to repair it. Or are they pretty non-destructive? I mean, can they take a lot of, can they take a lot?
Yeah, I'd say repairing it takes a lot of effort. You have to first, like, if it's a larger accident, you have to contact the FAA and let them know what's going on.
Wow.
And, yeah, so you want to try your best not to, but, again, if it does happen, like, the school, because we're through the program, I would guess the school would help the girls if they did. But, yeah, I mean, it comes with practice.
I would imagine there's insurance, too. But if you get into an accident, even if it doesn't affect anybody, you still need to let the FAA know. I guess maybe they keep track. It sounds like that's a responsibility.
I think there is like certain regulations, like if anyone's harmed. There is like the insurance policy, which I'm not exactly familiar with. But like something else to keep in mind is how much like weather affects it. I know personally, whenever I was like even filming for the football game, sometimes it would be windier and the battery would die really quickly, or like if it was really cold also it would die. And like just in that precaution, there's like certain regulations where it's like if the FAA says like if it's a certain degree climate, like you should just be extra careful, or like if you have a certain accident in this particular situation, then you should report it.
If you are just joining us, the voices you hear are associated with a program called Fly Like a Girl, FLAG, which is based, they are based at South Fayette High School. There are programs in four other high schools under the FLAG banner. And this program particularly targets towards girls to get them a way to fly their drones. I'm curious, transferable skills, what, I mean, let's start simply with conventional aviation. Are there things you learn when learning how to fly a drone that also have to do with aeronautical engineering or aviation? I imagine there would be.
When I first joined the program, I feel like just like everyone else, I thought you could just put a drone up in the air whenever you wanted to, but you have to go through a multiple series of steps, like pre-flight checks and everything like that. And then when it's up in the air, you have to make sure it's in eyesight. So there's a lot of regulations that you have to follow that I wasn't aware of when I first joined FLAG, but as I went through the program, I learned it, and then that's how I eventually got my license, by knowing it. But it's not as easy as it looks.
Anything to add?
Yeah, I think something that people don't realize is how the durability really affects, like, the flight. And I think that's, like, connecting it to aerospace engineering as well. Just making drones more durable, and not just drones in general, flight. And I think that's, like, where everything connects. Because when you're learning to get your drone license, you have to learn about so many things that people don't even think about. Certain things like during the night. How does it different from, like, flying in during daylight? Because there's more precautions you have to take, and aspects like you don't know which direction the drone is coming. Your vision almost like impairs you at certain angles. So just like being able to understand how you can connect that with building a aerospace flight, or like in general, that makes it more durable. And I think that's something that really connected. And also like just wind space or like anything like that, I think really connects, because you want to understand that whenever you're like building or even learning the engineering behind it, you want to be most effective and efficient with it.
It's fascinating. Morgan, anything to add?
In connection with like just aviation in general, you have to, when studying for your test, you have to learn a lot about weather and different types of weather and how that weather is going to affect your drone and your environment in general, because every situation you're going to be flying in is different. So you kind of have to deal with that, as many pilots do. But another thing you have to learn about the different types of airspace and kind of air traffic patterns. Like, as you're studying, you learn all of these different things that are in connection with flying planes, because you have to know when you're up in the air, because you can be as high up as some planes, you could be near a plane and how to deal with that. So you have to understand some of how planes work to be able to control your drone in a situation where you could be near planes.
What's really neat, or what I'm getting as you talk, is there is technology and, you know, a human interface to technology. But there is also a lot of in real life ties directly to nature and people and conditions and adjusting to physical reality. So it gives you both of those sets of skills, broad sets of skills to sharpen. This is a bit of a weird question, but let's just say 20 years from now, any ideas on where you think drones might be heading as a part of our daily lives, or as a part of how we live?
Yeah, I think drones will be a big part of the future. Even now, like using drones to scout out places or for first responders makes like helping emergencies quicker. So I think it speeds up a lot of stuff. Even you were mentioning with the housing, like they sending a drone up to see the top of the roof so that they know without taking days for people to climb up. So I think it'll make stuff more efficient, and I think it'll be a big part of the future.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah, this is a little bit more niche because it's something that I've like been more interested in and I've actually looked into, and it's like the agriculture aspect of it. Recently, drones have been used more like irrigation methods just to find effective ways to help the environment. And I think this is like the caveat where technology has been so much used that it's almost negatively affecting the environment. So like just switching the narrative to like how can we use the same technology to help the environment, and I find it like really fascinating. So like that's something that I think we do need to like develop more into, and I think we will, specifically just like understanding what the plants need, what water needs are necessary, and like how we can use drones to effectively be able to help the environment.
Morgan, you mentioned search and rescue before, and applications in firefighting. I'm sure you must be thinking of how the technology will evolve in that application. Are there others that you've thought about?
I mean, the drones are definitely going to be very useful when it comes to emergency response. Like, getting, it takes time, especially in a smaller community where you only have volunteer companies. It takes time for the volunteers to get to the station and then to get to the scene. So if you could have a drone, like, if dispatch could get a drone up in the air and get to the scene to see what's going on, to get more information to the firefighters, because you're going to have some information from the people that call in the emergency, but you're not going to have exactly all the information you're going to want when arriving on a scene. So you could get more information while you're still on the way to the scene, which can allow you to hopefully lesser the effects of, hope, like, if there's a fire, how to deal with it quicker, because once you get on scene, then you could already have a plan instead of standing around trying to think of a plan before you can act on it.
Yeah, if you have a thermal imaging camera, you might be able to know the hot spots much more safely than you would otherwise. Perhaps you can locate people and you can use it to develop a plan. That's amazing to think about. We have just a few minutes left. What would you say to girls? Well, you had something to say before I ask you, Safita. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say a little bit about the program. So Flag Academy really helped me because I was with other girls that were interested in the same thing I was interested in. And if you know high school, and it could just be like an awful place at times, and people can just be so mean. So being around other girls that were kind to me, welcomed me, and we really like were interested in the same things really helped me build confidence, because I wasn't the most confident person. And being around others really helped. And that's, I think, something the Flag Academy does extremely well, is they bring girls together and they teach them about drones, and then you make new friends and more better relationships. Like, I didn't know Morgan before I went to Flag, but she's an amazing person. Now we're friends. And then I knew Pernita. She also suggested the Flag Academy to me. So you can just build deeper relationships, and you can find, like, friends for life in Flag.
That's a great thing to mention, because it's a lot more fun and engaging, generally speaking, when you have somebody to do it with. How about you? Any other observations?
For me, just being a part of the program was like taking the first step toward change. And I really mean that when I say it, because I think it was a way of supporting other women in a field that we are like extremely underrepresented. And through the program, I also was able to learn why I liked engineering and more problem solving skills. So just like in addition to what Safina said, I think just the skills that you build is something that you will take lifelong. And what Dr. Paludi is an instructor, she's been great. She's been a great mentor, showing us how she was one of the first people in her school to like get her license, and how she's spreading the message to us as well.
That's fascinating, Morgan.
Through the program, I mean, obviously there's not a lot of women in the field of aviation, so we got to sit and listen to a panel of like women who are involved in different fields of aviation, whether they were a pilot, they're in air traffic control, or a mechanic on planes. You get to hear all the different careers you could take that involve aviation, and not just drones, but you also get to hear about how drones can help you within law enforcement and kind of every aspect.
I also wanted to just mention, because I think it's worth mentioning, because one of the hardest parts about the drone program is the license aspect. Getting the license was a process for me. I studied for 6 months, and then I took my test, and it's one of the hardest tests I've ever taken, because it's a federal aviation test. But I'm really glad I did it, and I'm a very determined person, and I don't give up easily. So I was very glad that I persisted through, like, the difficulties and challenges that I had, and I was able to get my license. But I would say to other girls that you can do it, and don't give up even if you're in a tough place, because you can push through and you can get your license. And even if you're interested in anything, you can do anything you want to do. You just have to have determination and motivation and confidence in yourself.
Good advice. It's really wonderful to meet all of you. And, Jim, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you know the other schools that have flag programs?
Yeah, so there's a couple of them. Beaver area, McKeesport, Penn Hills, Baldwin. Dr. Periton over at Baldwin has also been very instrumental in this program. And there's a few other schools beyond that, but those are the primary ones that have joined us for the 2 years.
Have you been able to meet girls at the other schools just to compare notes?
Yeah, I'm friends with a few people at Baldwin through the flag program. So I'd say having different girls from different schools gives you a chance to branch out and meet new people.
It's just terrific. Our time is just about up. It's been so nice to talk to all of you. And I always like to make sure that I didn't forget to leave room for something one of you might have wanted to say. Any last remarks?
No, I just want to say thank you so much. It was great being able to even come and speak here. It's been a while since I got my license, but just like having the memories, seeing everyone speak about their experience was great. Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations. I was going to say I'm amazed, but I shouldn't be, because you are all very determined people, but it's just a wonderful accomplishment. And as use of drones changes over time, it will be neat to see what you do with the skills you've developed. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
That is a program called Fly Like a Girl. And you heard Pranita and Morgan and Safina from South Fayette High School, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Fly away, oh glory.
Saturday at Light Brigade, Allison Krause, along with Gillian Welch and I'll Fly Away. Welcome, Brigadier. Welcome to this next segment. You're going to meet a remarkable writer who is the official City of Asylum, Allegheny County Poet Laureate. Her name is Ivy Smith. Ivy is going to be with us coming up in just a few moments. Thank you for being here today.
A-Plus Schools joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The mission of A-Plus Schools is to eliminate chronic absence in Pittsburgh city schools so that every kid can show up ready to learn in every school, every day. A-Plus Schools 2025 Report to the Community provides a thorough and objective look at Pittsburgh's public and charter schools, offering families, community organizations, policymakers, and concerned citizens critical data about student achievement, student growth, school climate, teaching, and more. A copy of this report and more information about A-Plus Schools is available at ourschoolspittsburgh.org.
Subscribe to our monthly Youth Media Center newsletter to learn about the dozens of free workshops, meetups, and other programs SLB offers to teens every month. Each newsletter includes registration information, as well as an easy-to-print calendar of teen opportunities that make it easy to spread the word to the teens in your life. To subscribe, visit slbradio.org/subscribe.
Monday is Martin Luther King Day, and for the 13th straight year, Streaming Justice, a youth-hosted talk show, airs live starting at 3 o'clock on MLK Day. You can tune in at youthexpress.org, and you can phone in and talk with our hosts between 3 and 6 o'clock. We'll have replays of Streaming Justice throughout the rest of Martin Luther King Day, clear through midnight and beyond. Last I checked, we I think had nearly 20 teens that are going to be hosts, and typically they host as teams. I see Cassidy is out there. Cassidy's going to be joining us in a little bit too. But right now, it's a pleasure to welcome Ivy Smith. It's been a while since I've seen you. How are you, Ivy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on being the Youth Poet Laureate. That's got to be huge. What was the process like?
So I go to a performing arts charter school, so it's kind of like a mandatory thing that we submit to certain places. So I was looking on our little bulletin board and I saw the Youth Poet Laureate application, so I was like, oh, I might as well submit. I wasn't really expecting too much. I'm kind of used to like submitting, getting the standard rejection email. They're like, all right, at least it counts as a submission. But this time it was a little different. I submitted, and then one day I got a call. I didn't answer at first because I didn't recognize the number. But to my surprise, it was Alexis telling me that I had won.
So Alexis Jabor is here, who is the Community Engagement Manager for the Youth Poet Laureate Program at City of Asylum. Do you surprise a lot of people when you make those calls?
I do, yeah. And I, yeah, of course you're not going to answer a random number. And I started leaving the voicemail. And when Ivy picked up, I imagined you'd been looking at the, like, transcript and being like, what?
Yeah.
Well, that's a huge honor. And what responsibilities does being the Youth Poet Laureate come with?
That's a good question, and that's a question I had at first, too, after, like, I was happy that I won. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to be good at this? But from what I've gathered, it's basically just reading my poetry, working with the other poet ambassadors on, I guess, projects, kind of like our upcoming reading with our, and our theme's going to be artificial. So in incorporating social justice issues with poetry, and then Alexis helps us, I don't know, spread the gospel with poetry, I guess.
Well, it's important, and indeed, January 19th, Martin Luther King Day, this coming Monday at 7 o'clock, you and others will be at City of Asylum presenting poetry that includes the theme, or is around the theme, artificial, but also focused on social justice. It's a great theme. Did you have to meet that theme as well when you submitted your work, or could you just submit any work of your choice?
When I was submitting, no, I just submitted work I already had and tried to incorporate some pieces I already had that kind of incorporated social justice and then some that didn't.
I think it's good to get you to submit work you're already writing. It would be hard to create something specifically. It would just seem not quite as genuine for the competition at the beginning, at least. Would you like to share something that you wrote? I know you have a couple pieces to share, right?
Yeah, I have two poems, so I guess I'll start with this one. My first piece is called The Moon, the Snow, and All Other Beautiful Things, and I wrote it a few years ago, and it was kind of like the first poem that I wrote that I was proud of, so it's still kind of important to me. But anyways, white satin snow pelted down thick, like wool that would provide me no warmth. The moon glazed the world brighter and whiter the day of my birth. My mother reveled in this righteousness, certain I'd come on the day of the new moon. She exhaled her frets into the frigid air, and this breath of profound relief would be the first thing that I saw. The sun had christened me its own martyr, birthed me into a world where brown is sacrilegious, bathed me in sunlight that deemed me dirty. The sun had christened me its brown soil, poplar trees, dry blood on leaves, yet you say to worship bone. Is there white ink between the black words, testifying a real beauty? Why the snow is regarded more a blessing than rich russet soil that lay below. And if I were born in times of soil instead of snow, how would they all make me their blessing? Could my absence of white be redeemed as one of the other beautiful things?
Wow. It's a great... The imagery is amazing, but something that I couldn't stop thinking about from the very beginning is that you wrote this about 2 years ago, the first writing that made you proud, and you're still proud of it. A lot of people will look back at things they did, including yours truly, and sometimes think, you know, I either I'm better now, or I, you know, they just don't look back at their back catalog so fondly. So it really says something about your temperament as an artist and your practice as an artist and a writer to feel that way about your work. Am I picking up something? I mean, is that often how you feel about past writing?
Oh yeah, this is definitely like a needle in the haystack of like not bad work that I've done, but maybe just work I did at this time too that I didn't that I don't really like think on fondly now. I mean, it had to be done to get to where I am now, so I'm proud of it for that reason, but probably not going to be sharing it anywhere. But this was kind of different for me because, I mean, I do feel like I'm a better poet now, but I guess I just, it's kind of nostalgic for me. And I think this poem reflects really well on like how I felt at the time and who I was at the time. Totally embarrassed.
So you read that in eighth or ninth grade?
Yeah, I'm guessing. Grade.
Eighth grade. Ivy Smith is now a junior at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School, I gather in the writing program. Have you been thinking about life after high school much?
Yeah, I want to go to college, and for a long time, basically since second grade, I always said, oh, I'm going to be a writer, I'm just going to go for writing. But recently, my mind's kind of changed, and writing's something that's like the film industry, which incorporates writing, but it's a little different.
What do you like about the film?
Kind of the same things that I like about writing and poetry. I really like how those art forms specifically, they kind of just make you a more empathetic person. I like how when you watch a movie or you read a poem or you listen to a story, the artist is kind of like demanding that you see them or see their perspective.
Shared your poetry excuse me, on stage much?
Not a whole lot. I've definitely had opportunities going to a performing arts charter school just with like our arts festivals that we've had and sharing it there, and then some opportunities through the Youth Poet Laureate program, like Amnesty International, which was somewhere that we read.
So something I'm wondering about, and this isn't necessarily personally for you, but just in general, there are probably poets and writers in general that are perfectly comfortable writing their work and, you know, this is it, I'm done, you know, it'll be published or somehow shared, but I'm not going to get up and read it or perform it. And then I suppose there's probably the other extreme where people want to get up and share their writing. Is it that bimodal, do you think, where some people kind of go towards one side and others go towards the performance end?
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. I know a lot of people who say, like, I only write for myself, like, I don't need anyone to share it, which I think is good in its own respect, but I've never really been like that. I mean, I think I kind of write with the intention of someone reading it or someone understanding it. And, you know, not everyone has to understand it, but...
What if somebody else read what you wrote? Would that make sense to you? I mean, aloud.
I don't know. I've never really thought about it. I mean, I've never been the most, like, comfortable public speaker, so I'm sure maybe they'd have a better way of performing it, but just because I think poetry and writing in general is such, like, a vulnerable art form, it would be kind of inauthentic.
That's a really good insight. I've been thinking a lot about that lately, is there's kind of an assumption, if you wrote it, you must really be interested in speaking it or sharing it aloud, and that's not necessarily the case at all, nor do you want to your work to be diluted by somebody else's voice or changed. So it may be that reading ends up being what's best, or if you're one that likes to share work orally, that's the other. I think about that stuff a lot.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of great spoken word poets, and their work is like really elevated by reading it aloud, and specifically them reading it aloud, just because their voice and their words are kind of meant to be that way. But I think I've always written the things that, like, I wasn't able to say aloud, or, like, I wasn't comfortable saying aloud, or even now, like, I'm comfortable reading it aloud, but there's just something about writing it down that is more streamlined than it going from, like, your thoughts to your mouth to the other person, whereas writing is right from your thoughts, I think.
It gives you a chance, I would imagine, to hone your message, too, in a way that matters. I know you have another poem to share with us. I'd like to end our segment with that poem. So, therefore, I want to be sure we mention anything else that we should mention. I'd like your poetry to have the last word. And I'll turn to Alexis as well. A City of Asylums celebration of Ivy as the Youth Poet Laureate, along with the Youth Poet Ambassadors, is January 19th between 7 and 8. I suspect it's free.
It is free. It is in person at our building, Alphabet City, here on the north side, 40 West North Avenue. But it's also live streamed, so you can find the ticketing info at cityofasylum.org. Yeah, and all five of the poets, Ivy the Youth Poet Laureate, and the four Youth Poet Ambassadors, will be reading old work, new work on the theme of artificial, which they chose. We had some planning meetings in December, and one of the things we do every year, sort of the main, you asked earlier, Larry, about like requirements or duties as a Youth Poet Laureate, and the one thing we do is produce a commencement reading. So we put on a reading and discussion for all the poets and let them shape it how they want, and usually this looks like they pick a theme and then they write new work on the theme. So they chose, inspired by artificial intelligence, but as we brought that up as an idea, everybody sort of took their own bend on it and kind of branched out into all these related topics. And so somebody suggested, oh, what if we, in the titling, we say artificial, and then that is a much broader theme. And so we can, you know, those of you that want to write about AI can, but then we have these other topics of, like, you know, persona and identity and stuff.
It should be a great night if you are interested in hearing fresh, original voices. There'll be, I think, six poets there that night, assuming everybody's feeling well, or five.
Five, yes.
Ivy, as well as the poet ambassadors. Ivy, before you share the other poem, anything else you wanted to add?
Not really.
No, I just wanted to, you know me, I just wanted to be sure I didn't skip out on a chance for you to say something that you wanted to. What are you going to share?
Hey, my second poem is called Godspeed, and this is a more recent poem from, like, the past couple months. So, it is to wait for oneself, more fish will be. His father and father's father, 10 times over, have relented to the same occupation. Since there has been sea, we have plunged our salt-stung hands within. His father puffs, gripping the son's shoulders like the steering wheel of a whaling ship, hoping her harvest is more plentiful than the last is the unspoken prayer in this sermon. The part his son, without the title of someone's father, spits into back. Unending, swimming into the sky, impossible stretches its bounds, impossible it is, the bottomless well, and he laughs at the divinity before him, examining the family heirloom box for the perfect bait, each an elaborate human ploy, wood and painted mimics. The only method unscathed is ice fishing. This is desperation's greed in an unforgivable scheme, to tell the ocean's murky outlet that there's no time, to calcify and carve at her cocoon. Provide is what she has sung cryptically since the dawn she did not see. but the fisherman's son has decided this was a plea for patience and not a siren of scarcity. So from the soppy mud, he pulls a worm, halved like a better version of his entrails to taste the metallic hook, and casts his line into the wine dark sea, from the shore where they waved Godspeed.
Incredible. Thank you for sharing that, and good luck Monday, and good luck forever. I hope we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you. That's Ivy Smith, the Youth Poet Laureate for all of Allegheny County, and Alexis Jabor, thank you for being with us. Saturday Light Brigade with Greg Brown and Bill Morrissey. We have a special pop-up guest of sorts coming up in just a moment. Somebody new for you to meet. His name is Cassidy with a K, and you'll get to meet Cassidy in just a second. Listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRTP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW, LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams, radio.org, Tube, City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you will find links to our own audio player, as well as those of TuneIn, Streama, Simple Radio, and Radio Garden. You'll also find a link to our Listen By telephone number, 631-359-8728. I mentioned Cassidy is going to join us. And Cassidy's been here before. Welcome back.